We have to understand that the men that God used to pen the old covenant, the new covenant, they understood it. May I tell you, the verses that we're going to be covering for the next three Sundays, the Lord willing, are some of the deepest, they're the most profound scriptures found in the entire New Testament.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill begins a study in the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. There's much to learn from this epistle, and we hope you'll seize this opportunity to go deeper into God's Word as Pastor Bill takes us through this book line by line. With that being said, let's join Pastor as he introduces the study with the message, Chosen in Him.
Paul's epistle to the church at Ephesus entitled The Ephesians this morning. We're going to start a brand new book, and I'm glad you joined with me to do so. Let me just read a few of the verses, and then I'll make a comment before we get into our sermon. It says that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, and we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You know, listen, as we start this incredible epistle, let me start off by saying this. Paul understood by the Spirit that he had, the same Spirit that we have, he understood what he just said. Does that make sense? You know, so often we go through the Bible, we read it, we have to understand that the men that God used to pen the old covenant, the new covenant, they understood it. May I tell you that the verses that we're going to be covering for the next three Sundays, the Lord willing, are some of the deepest, they're the most profound scriptures found in the entire New Testament. And I would be amiss if I stood before you and said, I've got it down. I understand every bit of it. Because after all these years, I have found that the more I study it, the less I understand it, okay? And so with all that being said, you know, this little epistle, six little chapters, has been called literally the Grand Canyon of Scripture. I like W.O. Carver, his writing of what he said about this epistle. He said, this is the greatest piece of writing in all of history. What a profound word, and we're getting ready to study. You know, Ephesians, along with Colossians and Philemon, they're called the prison epistles. Paul, of course, is in probably around AD 60, AD 62. He's in his first imprisonment there in Rome. Whether it's in prison or in the house arrest, we don't really know, but we just know he is confined. So these six chapters that we're going to cover are the finest, richest manna to be consumed, loved one, in the entire New Testament. And we're going to feast on what others have called, let me quote again, that Ephesians, the supreme book of the New Testament. What a glorious word. Now, so we have some staggering privileges and riches that we're going to be looking at this morning. And I want to tell you something. They're all found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, they are doctrinal, okay? They tell us our position in Christ. It's important that you get this. It's important that you know the first three chapters are doctrinal. We are told what we possess. We are told our position and so forth. When we get to the last three chapters, then we go from doctrinal to our practice. It starts off, what, in Ephesians 4:1, it tells us, let us walk worthy of our calling. That's after we learned everything in chapters 1, 2, and 3. To walk worthy of our calling, that word worthy is a picture of a set of weights, okay? So it'd be two weights that are perfectly balanced, equal in doctrine and equal in application. Amen? Now, what's interesting here as we do this is that when Paul starts out, and we're going to talk this morning about being chosen in him, he starts out with something we're all so familiar with if you've been a Christian any time at all. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, meaning the faithful believers that are in Christ, in him, in whom, all through this epistle, over and over again. Now, with all that being said, we know that the apostle is one who is sent as a representative of another. Of course, Paul is an apostle by the resurrected, ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Did you notice that Paul said it wasn't by his will? He says, it's not my will, it's God's will. It's not my plan, it's God's plan. Isn't it wonderful that you can know that you're in the will of God? Man, the Bible says in what? 1 John 2:17, it says, this world is passing away and the lust therein, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. You can know God's will for your life if you want to get into God's word. So he says here, it's addressed to the saints. Now, we know that there's a teaching today about how you can elect or determine those to sainthood. Now, we don't believe in that because the saints that he was writing to, were they dead or alive? Yeah, you don't have to die to be a saint. You know what I mean? You're already a saint. You're one who has been set apart by God. That's what it means, hagios. It means you're holy, okay, and set apart by God. But what is the qualification for a person to be a saint? There's only one. You have to be in Christ Jesus, amen? So the word saints is addressed to us Christians, set apart for the Lord. And then he says, grace and peace to you from, and that's an important word, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two important words, grace, that unmerited, unearned, undeserved, unconditional, divine favor of God that has been given unto those who were lost and dead in trespasses of sins and had absolutely no way of saving themselves. So God came to us, amen? That's grace, loved one. And peace. Peace only comes through one person. One person. His name is Jesus Christ. God makes peace with man no other way. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. The Bible says, I think it's what, Ephesians 2:14, that Jesus himself is our peace. Listen, God is not mad at you. The wrath of God does not abide upon believers. Amen? We have peace with, not peace in. We have peace in when we're in a trial, but we have peace with Almighty God. And then Paul writes, and he says here in verse 3, now listen carefully, verse 3 and really following, but especially verse 3, has been called the richest and the most overwhelming passage in the Bible. The translators actually did us a disservice in a sense because they put in, you know, periods and commas and so forth. Starting in verse 3, loved one, all the way to verse 14 is one sentence. One sentence, okay? And if you study any of the Greek scholars, they'll tell you that this is one of the most complicated. These verses are some of the most complicated in the Word of God. Someone said this about verses 3 through 14. He said, it might be the longest single sentence of unbroken discourse in ancient literature. Isn't that amazing? Now, that's not going to get anybody saved, but we're opening our introduction to Ephesians. I want you to know that when we get to this starting right now, I'm not trying to make you feel that they're difficult, but they are difficult. It's difficult to comprehend what God has done in eternity. Amen? We're finite beings. So when we go back into eternity, man, it's enough to blow any of us away. And we're not given a whole lot of detail. And these are the things that God has done before the world was ever even created, loved one. So let's begin now in verse 3, where Paul starts out with this incredible doxology, and he says, praise or blessed, praise be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and here comes a past tense, who has blessed us with what? Every, say that word, every spiritual blessing, the sphere in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we really and truly, the church today, if we would all faithfully dissect that scripture, we would stand up right here in this chapel, we would lift our hands, and we would start shouting unto God the Father. If we truly believe that verse, loved one. Man, listen, do we need to ever praise God? Our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, man, He is the source of every spiritual blessing given to those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The question is this, do you, do we really believe verse 3? Do we really believe that? You know, Paul didn't say God intends to bless us one day. He didn't say that, did he? No, it says our Father here. And God, He cannot lie. If you are in Christ, if you have been chosen in Christ, God has pronounced you blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is an incredible, overwhelming, unbelievable scripture. Now listen to me. Verse 3 is not, it's just not promised to us, loved one. The Bible teaches us, it says, who has blessed. That is a past fact and a present reality. It tells us that we just have not been promised this, but we have literally, we now possess them because we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And let me add one more thing. These blessings that have now been given unto us, bestowed upon us, it's not about when we arrive in heaven. It's talking about right this very minute. Amen? So I look at that and I say, wow, since we possess every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, listen carefully now, that means that God the Father, who loves us and sent His only Son to die for the sins of all mankind, to pay our sin debt, cannot give you any more than He has already given. He has already given unto you, each and every one of you, every. That word means all. So with all that being said, all of these blessings, there's nothing more that God can give us since He has given us everything. Remember what Paul the Apostle said in Corinthians? He said, all things are yours. Think about that. In other words, we, loved one, we're not only forgiven, our sins far as the east is from the west. We're the sons and daughters of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. We have been given everything. The Bible says in Romans 8:32 that God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Here it comes. How shall He not with Him, meaning Jesus, freely give us all what? Things, plural. All things, plural. The word did not spare means that God gave us His absolute best. He gave us the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. We have been given everything. I wonder if we ask amiss. I don't think we mean to. I know we don't mean to. But do you think that we might ask amiss when we ask God to give us what He has already given us? You know what I mean? I think we're guilty of that. Oh, Lord, bless us today. But we're already blessed. Oh, Lord, please be with us here in our service. But He is already here. You know, oh, Holy Spirit, please, you know, be with us. We welcome You. No, He has been here before you got here. Do you see what I'm getting at? See, our thinking is not really correct, is it? Do you think we might be amiss when we ask God, oh, God, you know, fill my heart with love when He has already done so? Romans 5:5, amen? He's already poured out all of His love. Or we say, oh, Lord, would You just give me some strength, oh, Lord, to get through this day? And the Bible teaches us in what? Philippians 4:13 13, that we can do all things through Christ, or I can do, as Paul said, through strengthens us. I'm up for whatever the task might be, except when a cold germ attacks you. You know what I'm saying? No, and so I wonder if, you know, Lord, I'm not at peace, or I need peace. Or maybe we say that, Lord, I just need to experience your peace that we already possess. John 14, 27, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. My peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. So all these things are victories. And when am I going to get the victory, Lord? And when is that going to happen? And remember what the Bible has already bestowed upon us? What does it say in 2 Corinthians 2:14? It says, we give thanks unto God who always leads us in triumph. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:4-5, it says, who is he who has overcome the world but he who is born of God? He who believeth in Jesus Christ. Amen? See, we have all these blessings. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. All of these things. Not only that, it says in 2 Peter 1:3, it tells us that as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know what? That's a fact, a divine fact. We have everything we need for life and for godliness. It's already been given unto us, the church. So we could literally say this morning, is there really anything else to receive? Not really, because we've already received everything. So you say, well, Bill, I'm not experiencing those things, so how do we acquire that in our life or live and experience that? Well, we have to appropriate the blessings of God by what? By faith. Thank you. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. That there's no other way to live and that will please God except if we live by faith. Remember in the old covenant, there in the book of Joshua, did God come up to Joshua and say, Joshua, I have given you the land, meaning the promised land? Yes, he came up and he said that. Now listen, Israel's ownership of the land was unconditional because it was based on the Abrahamic covenant, right? Okay, so it was theirs. God had promised it to Abraham and his descendants. However, even though it was an unconditional promise, it was still conditional for them. They had to go take it. Does that make sense? Well, see, we have to do the same thing. We have to appropriate by faith and go take what God has given unto us. Joshua and his team, the army, they had to go and fight for what God had already given unto them. But he said, I'll go before you. Amen? And God does the very same thing for us. Listen to what Joshua told the people in Joshua 18:3. He said, then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? And we could say that to ourselves. How long, Christian, will we neglect to not go in and appropriate by faith and take and receive and walk in and experience all the blessings that God has given unto us? Amen? See, there's no way to improve on it. We try to improve, and it doesn't matter. Right now, we possess everything in Christ. All we have to do is believe. The Lord said, you know, to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power upon high. Well, that was to the Jews. You know, we don't have to tarry. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. Amen? We can get it right this minute. We don't have to try and defeat the devil because he is already the defeated one. We don't have to worry about death. Jesus has abolished death, rendered it inoperative. To be absent now from our body is to be present with the Lord. We don't have to beg God for wisdom at all, but we have to believe God for wisdom. James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally without reproach. Amen? He wants that. The Bible tells us already that Jesus in Colossians 2:3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom, not hidden from us, hidden for us. We just have to go and get them. Now, here's the thing about your inheritance. You have to claim it. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1, where Paul continues and he says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That means open, that your eyes be opened, that you may know. That means to know by experience, that you may know what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, not your inheritance, his inheritance in the saints? Well, what is Jesus' inheritance? You. I mean, can you imagine that? We are God's treasure. Amen? We're the body of Christ. But you cannot enjoy what you don't know. That's why you need to study God's word. What did God tell the prophet Hosea in Hosea 4:6 about Israel? He said, my people, God's people, my people, God said, perish because of lack of knowledge. So how can you enjoy what you don't know? Amen? And so the Lord says, no, go in there and get that. So the more you understand, then the more you're going to enjoy what God has given unto you. So let's look at it again. All these blessings, they're found where? It says, every spiritual blessing we've been blessed with in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I first of all encourage you to do a study through Ephesians wherever you find heavenly places, okay? That's important. But I want you to notice if your Bible is a, well, I don't know, if you just look in your Bible, the word places, is it in italics? Okay, so that means that it's not in the Greek text. They just added that. So really, we should say, in the heavenlies, in Christ. That is the sphere, or the location, if you will, of every blessing. And it's not when we arrive in heaven. Again, it's that present reality. And our spiritual blessings, yes, they are in heaven, and they are from heaven. They come from the Holy Spirit of God, who's already been given unto us. But they're only found in Christ. And if we looked at Ephesians 1:20, we would find that Christ Jesus our Lord, when he ascended, he sat down at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. Amen? So that's where everything is. Now here's the deal. I don't know if you can comprehend this or not, because sometimes it's difficult for me as well. And I'm not saying I comprehend it totally. But the Christian, we live in two worlds, don't we? We're sojourners, we're pilgrims here on this planet, we're just passing through. We have no continuing city, the world is not our home. We're looking for the one to come. We're on the race of faith, if you will, to our homeland. Now, with all that being said, at the same time, Philippians 3:20 tells us that we are citizens of heaven. Man, and we're eagerly waiting for him to come and get us, amen? So we're citizens, we live in America, but the truth is, our home is not here. We're just passing through. So when you start looking at all the scriptures about the world that we live in, we know in Romans 12:2, it says for us not to be conformed to this world. It says for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible tells us that our Father, which art in heaven, he is there. Jesus told us in Luke's gospel, I think it's 10:20, I'm not for sure, he said, if you're going to rejoice, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Our names are there. They're there right this minute. Really, everything revolves around heaven for the Christian. Matter of fact, we're told that our focus needs to be on heaven, believe it or not. In Colossians 3:1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died. We died. When Jesus died, we died. Amen? When he raised, we were raised with him. For you died, and I love this, your life is hidden in God with Christ. What incredible security that we have. We know this heavenly realm. The Bible, when we get over to Ephesians chapter 6, I think it's verse 12. We're going to talk about the wicked spirits that we fight against. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but those wicked spirits and powers, they're in the heavenlies. Amen? Now, that's not the heavenlies where Jesus is. That's not the third heaven, as Paul said. I was taken up to the third heaven. That's the heavens above us, loved one. Now, with one more scripture, look at verse 6 at chapter 2 with me, talking about our lives are in two worlds. It says, and we were, raised up, watch that word, together, and made us sit. That's the church. All of us made us sit together where? Isn't that amazing? In the heavenlies, with or in, very important word, in Christ Jesus.
Pastor Bill will complete this message on our next broadcast, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. thank you for listening along with us. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.